Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Shearer, Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Shearer.
Good morning, Andy.
How are you doing today?
I am doing well.
Good,
How
good.
About yourself?
I'm doing all right. Doing all right. Thank you, sir. Say, what do you have for us this week? What's going on at Brothers of John the Steadfast?
Well, on our news site, we put up an article last Wednesday that I think I want to just kind of focus on for this little segment, and that is it's entitled On Name Calling, and it's by Pastor Dan Hinton, who's a pastor here in Cheyenne at Trinity Lutheran Church and School, and it's a classical school. And so as you read the article, it starts to show through that these classical schools are producing some interesting thinkers, Pastor Hinton being one of them, about how to, in particular, this one's about when and where name-calling should take place. And, of course, it doesn't take long in the blogging world, as Brothers John Steadfast, we know that. It doesn't take long in the social media world. If you belong to any Facebook groups, especially, are big for this, name-calling starts to happen. And of course, name-calling's a tricky situation. Pastor Hinton here, he talks about it. He gives some guidelines at the end of it, and we'll get to those. But he starts out that name-calling, he says, you know, using the rhetorical device, again, he's using the classical category of rhetoric, it's a rhetorical device of using a name to describe someone's intellectual opponent without regard to whether it constitutes proper rhetoric or bombast, bluster, obfuscation, sophistry, or something else.
That's why I let you read them.
Exactly. This is a classical educated guy, right? So, man, oof. But then he goes on to talk about the presuppositions. And, of course, in order to understand his article, you need to understand where he's coming from. So first thing he says is that God's law is good, and it instructs Christians in the way that we are to live. God's holy and perfect will expressed in his law, it's a good thing. Second is that speaking God's law to another person, particularly in this case to another Christian, is an act of love. And that's, I think, a hard one sometimes for folks to understand, that even the law is loving. Third is that the Christian, according to things like Psalm 1 or Romans 7, delights in the law of God, that we shouldn't run and flee from it so much as we delight in it. It's from God. It's His. So we can delight in it. And so then he gets into the topic of the extremes. And this is probably where a lot of folks would like to answer this question about name-calling, because the extremes are easy. The extremes. So he first deals with the extreme of, he calls it the high school guidance counselor's position, which is that name calling is never okay. All right. So this would be someone who says that name calling is always sinful. The problem with this idea, however, is Jesus. In the Gospels, Jesus calls a lot of people a lot of different names. So in Matthew 23, for instance, he calls the Pharisees hypocrites. He calls them whitewashed tombs. You have John the Baptizer calling people broods of vipers. You have Paul making fun of super apostles, kind of mockery and derision. And so we have these things. Now, we could maybe explain away Paul and maybe John, and maybe, you know, Luther does these things later. But the problem is that Jesus does these things. So the absolute rule of name-calling is always a sin doesn't fit with Jesus. Okay? So so we need to look at this, and of course an objection there might be that, well, you're not Jesus. Well, that's true. However, the Scriptures, specifically the Apostle John, says that we ought to walk in the same way which Jesus walked. And so there is a factor of Jesus as an example of our behavior and so forth, and an exhortation to be that. And of course, Pastor Hinton points out a really good thing, that, you know, Jesus doesn't always call people names, however, even though, you know, being God himself, mm-hmm. he of course knew the deepest, darkest things about every person and could have called everyone a name. You know, hey, you adulterer, hey, you, you know, murderer, hey, you. He knew everything about the people, but he doesn't. He only uses names at certain times, and so our task is to figure that out as well. Now, the other extreme is, of course, to say that name-calling is always okay. And this is what Pastor Hinton calls the petulant teenager. And, of course, this is the idea that, oh, well, I can do this whenever. But the problem with that position is there's no consideration for moderation, no consideration for prudence or charity, which are all virtues which a Christian should exhibit. These are fruits of the Spirit. These are good things that God does through us, and these are virtues we should have as Christians. So Jesus is an example there that he did take these things into light, and he did name call still, but he uses it appropriately at the right time. So there's a narrow way that we need to try to walk with name calling, and Pastor Hinton does a good job of starting the conversation. It's by no means an exhaustive set of things that he suggests here, but I think it gets a good start on something that really needs to happen, and that is, how do we conduct ourselves with people online? You know, this is with people that you don't interact with. This is not face-to-face, it's not anything. So the temptation is there to just be mean, name call, whatever you need to do, just because there's no extra consequence. But instead, to maybe weigh out these things, not going with the easy way of saying never or always, but instead to start thinking about how name-calling should happen, if it needs to happen at all. Okay? So, moderation, prudence, charity. Always be in a mindset. So the first thing he lays out is that name-calling should be accurate. Okay? The example here, he says, is, you know, you don't go around calling someone a pietist who insists upon a decreased role of laity in the governance of the church. Which, of course, those two things have nothing to do with each other. And so, you know, you don't go just throwing names out there just because, well, whatever. It has to be an accurate name if you're going to call them a name. Two, and this is a really important one, it must not merely serve to build up the one using the term at the expense of another. You know, this is not a selfish, like, I'm going to look better than you. It's not to be used to score cheap points, so to speak, or in Facebook terms, you know, to gain more likes. Number three, it should address the argument that the person is actually making, rather than arguing against maybe a caricature, you know, straw man, so to speak, you know, what we think that they're saying or what we can easily just kind of explain it away as, but actually engaging the actual argument the person is making. Or the other mistake here would be to argue against the person himself, the character of the person or the past of the person or something like that, which would be, of course, those ad hominem arguments you see all over the place. Four, it must be used to set the tone that the matter being discussed is one of high importance to the Christian in relation to his salvation. And this is, of course, where Jesus uses name calling, that when we're dealing with issues of salvation here, this is important. And to draw the importance out, you might use a name. And so here Pastor Hinton uses the example of, you know, you probably shouldn't use the strongest terms, the name-calling. You probably don't want to use that to denigrate those who are advocating the primacy of Mark over Matthew in the gospel, saying, you know, well, Mark came first, then Matthew. Oh, you know, insert name-call here. That's not an appropriate situation where that's needed. But, he says, one might bring it out for those who deny infant baptism. Here we're talking about a matter of salvation, a serious matter, deep, serious matter of theological importance. And so there, you might draw it out to bring up the importance of it by using a name. Okay? Number five, he moves on to, it should be used in order to demonstrate how pernicious a false teaching is, with the goal of showing the errorist his error that he might repent. This is the key, you know, we're offering the correction and heightening that by using a name in order that repentance might happen. This is not to score points. It's not to show how right I am or anything like that. This is the goal of all Christian correction, that there would be repentance. So this is the important thing. I mean, we want people to repent. When we speak God's law, that's the goal. To garner repentance. If we need to heighten and sharpen that with using a specific name to draw attention to the seriousness of the matter, then we should do that with the goal of gaining repentance. And six is a great distinction also, and that is names should be used for the false teacher, but not for those caught in his lies. This is a Lutheran distinction, that we deal with the false teachers differently than we deal with the falsely taught. And I think the scriptures lay this out as well, because you see the harshest words of warning and rebuke are used in the scriptures for not the sheep, but for the false teacher. And of course, we need to keep that in mind. That's also a kind of an art of itself, because of course, a false teacher may not necessarily be on his own, you know, proudly teaching false teachings. He might be himself misled. And so there's your, you know, moderation, prudence, and charity coming through again, that we need to have some love here in this respect. So these things, these 6 points that he brings up, are just great helps. If we can start thinking this way, reminding ourselves of these things, you know, for one, if we're not name-calling all the time, guess what? When all of a sudden we do use a name, it will become a much more significant thing. There's something serious going on here. But apart from that, of course, this should help improve some of our interactions online. You know, perhaps you have this problem in your day-to-day life as well, in your face-to-face interactions, but I'm sure this would help with our online behaviors, our discussions on blogs, like Brother John Steadfast, our discussions on Facebook groups or just in public Facebook, that these 6 points could be really helpful to understand when it's appropriate to name call, that we can't just do an always or never rule. That'd be too easy. Doesn't take into account the usefulness of it, and doesn't take into account Jesus' use of name calling. But we can do this, and this is the example given to us, and I think Pastor Hinton has really laid out some really great ideas, some guidelines, so to speak, doing this.
And we can find that article. What's the name of that article?
It is called On Name Calling.
On Name Calling, and we can find that at steadfastlutherans.org, along with other articles. With just a couple seconds left, anything else this week, Pastor Scheer?
No, just glad to always be on KFUO, and glad to have your listeners listening to us and reading our articles, and hopefully gaining in their Christian knowledge and being encouraged in their Christian walk as well.
Thank you so much. God's blessings on your week. We'll talk again next week.
Lord bless you, Andy.
Thank you.